Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and we're here just another day. So of the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So we're thanking God that we're here. Almost in the middle of the last month of the year. So it's a blessing to be here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So we're just so grateful to be able to look into the perfect law of liberty, none other than the Word of God, one more time that we're here. So we just thank God for all of our listeners, all of our LinkedIn listeners and connections and friends, all of our Facebook followers and friends, all of our Twitter listeners and friends, and also all of our Blog Talk friends and listeners. Just thank God that we're able to be here, and thank God for Blog Talk Radio. What a great medium it is to be able to have Blog Talk Radio, which started and it's coming out of New York, and it's been around. It had its beginnings in 2006, and still a lot of people don't even know about Blog Talk Radio when you mention it to them. But thank God for the medium that we have of Blog Talk Radio, and we're able to bring the word of the Lord. And this particular genre is called Truth Ministry. So we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? That he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so this is what Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, people who already experience, already had the born-again experience, like it was preached by the Apostle Peter, whom the Lord Jesus Christ himself gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven, told him whatever he bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever he loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is the binding and the loosing power of the church, and it means exactly what he says. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose it in heaven. So on the day of Pentecost, the apostolic doctrine found its infancy. And that apostolic means to be like the apostles. And those are the ones whom Jesus chose, whom he called apostles. So the church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread and in prayers. They did this. They ate their meat with singleness of heart. They had fellowship on the day of Pentecost. But when they were born again, when the day of Pentecost is fully come, this was the fulfillment of Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. I will pour out on my handmaidens and my servants in those days, and they shall prophesy. So that the Holy Ghost is poured out on the day of Pentecost. When they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them to utter. No doubt, don't worry, it was the Spirit of the Lord that was poured out upon them. That's why Peter, who had the power, he had the keys, which meant that he had the power and he had the authority given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 16:18. So he let them know they had to repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He went on to say, the promises unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we're in there too. About 11 years later, at Cornelius' house, the Gentiles, the Holy Ghost was poured out on the Gentiles, just like it was on the Jews on the day of Pentecost. So we thank God for the born-again experience. We're called out in the Gospels. Knowing there is only one Gospel, there's four Gospel writers. We're called out in the Gospels. We're saved in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. We are taught how to live in the epistles, and we're going to be called out of the church, or out of the church is going to be called out of the earth in the book of the Revelation, the fourth chapter. A door is going to be opened in heaven. So we know it's written in the scriptures, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And First Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, and about verse 13, says, you believe that them which sleep in Jesus with God, bring with him, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. But for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. That means he's coming down with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, all simultaneously. The dead in Christ, those that are asleep in Christ, shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So this is the word doctrine is a word that a lot of people don't like to talk about, but it simply is an Old Testament word that means teaching. So you can read about it in the book of Deuteronomy, book of Proverbs. It says, I give unto you good doctrine. So that's what Apostle Paul kept talking about when he instructed his son Timothy in the gospel, talking about God's word. You've been taught from a child out of the Holy Scriptures. So, you know, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So doctrine is teaching. So you notice that that's what some say in their circles. They want to say so-and-so and so-and-so teaches. And so what someone teaches is doctrine. So this is why he says, to whom shall he teach doctrine? In the 28th chapter of the of Isaiah, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. So precept must be upon precept. Precept is a rule. Line upon line, here a little and there a little. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. That's talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not stammering lips only, but another tongue or another language. This is rest, this is refreshing. So he talks about Israel there, yet they would not hear. So this is what we are endeavoring to do. You got to be born again. So the born again experience is the fulfillment of St. John 3 and 5 and 3 and 3. You got to be born again. You can't see the kingdom of God. 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And he goes on, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, who is a ruler. He's a master of Israel. He said, you don't know these things? So you got to be. You can't. If you're not born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot. If you haven't been born again, you can't see it. You can't understand it. You can't perceive it. So we have been teaching virtually all year on our theme, the Godhead. So we're talking about the deity of Jesus Christ, and so. So many don't know who he is. God is not a freak. If something has more than one head, it's a freak. But God, Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. So many don't know. That's why we read the scripture in St. John, the first chapter, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So people just read right past that. They don't understand the Godhead, or the God who is the head of all things. So it's so very important. You go to heaven, you're not going to see three gods. You're not going to see two gods. You got to understand biblical terminology. Like I said, when Stephen was stoned to death in the sixth chapter and the seventh chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, said he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's not God with his hand open and Jesus standing on it. Got to understand the biblical terminology. So he is at the right hand of the Father. He is the Father. God is not sitting on a throne like we think that he's sitting on a throne. But the church is going to be in the throne with him. That's a place of authority. So thank God for his word. And so we're so just so glad to be able to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. So after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore. Jehovah is Jesus, is become our salvation. So there's only one God, and he's all wrapped up the body of Christ. So God's going to be all and in all. He put down all rule and authority. He must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You can read about that, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Son himself going to be subject to the Father. So knowing God is a spirit, doesn't matter what God has become, God is still a spirit. A spirit does not have flesh and bone. That's why he said he had to make himself a body. In the 40th chapter the Psalms, and also the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. So Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. So we want to continue on where we left off on last week. That is in the book of Mark. We've been talking about the deity of Christ. And so Mark, who is John Mark, he writes his writing in talking about John the Baptist actually it's hand in hand with the prophet Isaiah in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. He's talking about the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So you can find those writings, those words in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Comfort ye my people, you know, speak comfortably to Jerusalem, but our warfare is double and all. So the voice of one crying in the wilderness, that's talking about the forerunner of Jesus Christ, none other than John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, is who that is making reference to. So we were talking on last week, which is going through the book of Mark, first couple of chapters, how people knew about his deity, that devils knew who he was, people that had unclean spirits, they knew who the Lord Jesus was. So we left off in the third chapter of St. John. That's what we want to talk about today. Depending on how far we can get, Mark 3 and Mark chapters 3 and 4. So Jesus, he healed many that had plagues. Those are kind of some things that we want to talk about on today. So I want to just kind of recap a little bit. So we go back to the beginning of the third chapter of St. John. And then also, should you desire to call in and should you have a comment or a question, you are very welcome. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. Should you desire to call in Truth Ministry, you are definitely welcome to call in. Okay, so we want to move on here, talking about Jesus here in the book of Mark, the third chapter. He entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And we kind of recap, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. So we're talking about the religious leaders in that day, the Pharisees and the scribes. So, and he said unto the man which had the withered hand, this is Jesus, stand forth. And he said unto them, those that were there, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. When he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now remember here, this man had a withered hand, and Jesus healed the man with the withered hand. Okay, so, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him, talking about Jesus. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him and from Judea. So this is where we left off at on last week. So we want to continue on from Jerusalem and from Idumea and beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. Now remember, you got to keep in mind who we're talking about. We are talking about Jesus. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. So we know that they pressed upon him greatly. So he had healed many. This is what he already had done, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. So these people knew the master was in town. They knew that virtue would go out of him. Whatever he said, it was so. And it's what the word of God said. that he was going to heal the sick, he was going to raise the dead, he was going to open the eyes of the blind, the lame was going to walk, and the deaf were going to hear, and the dead were going to be raised, and the poor would have the gospel preached unto them. They knew this. They knew what the word of the Lord said. That's why they were there. Okay, and so, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, okay, now remember what we said, a devil, there's no such thing as a demon. We say that, but they're actually, with a little d, devils or unclean spirits. The devil with a big D is the dragon, Satan, the serpent. You read about him in the 20th chapter of Revelation. That is the devil himself. So the devil initially, that is the Lucifer who was thrown out of heaven when Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. He made Lucifer. Lucifer made himself the devil. So the devil possessed the serpent in the Garden of Eden. The devil entered in Judas, and the devil is going to be in the man called the Antichrist. So he's going to be the mystery of iniquity doth already work on it. He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed. This is in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Even him who is after, working is after the working of Satan. So he is going to be the man of sin, the Antichrist. Now there's many Antichrist people, but this man is actually going to be a man that the devil is going to be in. This is what the mark of the beast and all this stuff is coming about. We can see in our system all of these things that are coming about. Knowledge has been increased. All of these things are going on, and pretty soon people think you don't really realize what's going on. You're going to be able to use your scan, all of this scanning and all, scan your phone or whatever. You can't buy or sell unless you take the mark after the church is gone. Only way you're going to be saved during that period of time is give your head. You're going to be beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Because if you're not beheaded, you sell your soul to the devil if you take the mark of the beast. In the 13th chapter of the book of the Revelation, you read on from there, you'll see about it. So you don't want to do that. But the point being is the devil, these unclean spirits are spirits of devils with a little d. So when they saw him, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, talking about Jesus, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. Jesus, that is. He told the devils, don't make me known. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, talking about his disciples. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness, to cast out devils. St. Mark 3:15, and to have power to heal sickness, comma, and to cast out devils. That's with a little d. And he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. They went into an house, and the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard it, of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Talking about Jesus. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils casts he out devils. How stupid is that? Because Jesus said, Satan casts ourself. Satan, his kingdom is divided against itself. We're going to go on here. We'll see that. So he called unto him, and he said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? A question. And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but he hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Because they said he hath an unclean spirit. Mark goes back here writing, there came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude set about, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. He answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? This is Jesus talking. Now he looked round about on them, which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my mother. I mean, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. So that concludes the fourth chapter of Mark. So what we want you to see was the deity of Jesus. And you remember one of my pet peeves scripture that I made mention, I believe I made mention on it last week. I think it's James 2:19. James says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So they believe there's one God, but the devil is a liar, and all his little imps too. They know that there is only one God, but they lie and tell you there's two or three. Ain't no God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, but he's all one. He can never be what he is not. When he gets done being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be, he's always God. Just because he became man, he didn't stop being God. He's everywhere here now, they're God. He's everywhere in every place. He can leave you, come to you, ain't gone nowhere. He's in China. He's in Europe. He's in the continent of Africa. He's in Yugoslavia. He's everywhere in every place. He's in Spain. He's in Germany. He's in the United States. Amen. He's in everyone that he filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's walking on the waves of the sea. He telleth the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. He got the whole world in his hands. It's not hands like we think, literal hands, but it's there because he told it to stay there. And it's going to crash into each other, some of the planets and all, when the moon's going to be turned to blood and all that, before that great and notable day of the Lord. That is called the tribulation period. But right now, everything is there by the word of his power, because he told it to stay there. Nothing is running into nothing. So he stretched out the north, Job said, out of the over the empty place, and he hangeth the earth upon nothing. Who knows what a cornerstone is in the earth? There is a place where no dragon or no animal has tread. I mean, God knows everything. He made it all. So, and he began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and he sat down in the sea, and the whole multitude on the land. So, and he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine. So, remember what we said, doctrine is teaching. So he said, hearken, behold, there went out a sword to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? So here it is right here. The sower soweth the word. So that's what I'm so sick of hearing people say when they keep saying, sow a seed. A seed, the seed is the word of God. The seed is not money, but the seed is the word. It's because of the where they were, the geography, as we would say, the territory where they were, these people were farmers and fishers and agriculture people. That's why he used parables, because they could understand what he was talking about. But now we don't have to use parables. We can just flat out put the word out. So he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. Note, see, just proved it right there. The seed is the word. So then he goes on here, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. And so the ground that he's talking about is the heart, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle bought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? So that's what he was saying. Like, men don't light candles and put them under a bushel. But if the candle is made to give light. So he said, there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So we know who's talking. This is the master. This is the healer. This is the King of glory. This is the God of heaven, the Word made flesh, John said, and dwell among us. He came into the world that he made. Somebody said he summoned his angel Gabriel to go down to the city of Nazareth and to make the annunciation of the conception of the infinity. That little virgin named Mary. How shall it be? These things be seeing I know not a man. The power of the highest shall come upon thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Luke 1:35. So this is how this all happened. So the birth of Christ. Mary was conceived. That which was conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So Joseph wanted to put her away because he knew, like, how in the world? But see, Isaiah had already prophesied, a virgin shall be with child, shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So the birth of Christ is probably was sometimes during the time the shepherds were out in the field, so it couldn't have been no later than October, definitely not December. So the birth of Christ and the so-called Christ Mass, which came out of the Catholic Church, is no connection. So it has absolutely nothing to do with it, but that is the Christmas thing is all about, is all that is about. It has absolutely nothing to do with the birth of Christ. And actually, he didn't tell us to remember his birth, but we know he came. He came to die, give his life a ransom for many, but he told us to remember his death. That is why he instituted the Lord's Supper and communion, we call it. And so you do show the Lord's death till he come when you do that. So he goes on here, if any man here have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto him, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again, and to you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He that hath not, for him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, if a man should cast seed into the ground. You know what that is? Farmers, he give seed to the sower. So this is in the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, he says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, making the earth to bring forth and to bud. He says, so shall my word that go forth out of my mouth, not going to return unto me void, but it's going to accomplish the thing I sent it, and prosper that which I please. So he gives seed to the sower. What is he? Literal seed. That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What seed? Seed for a farmer to plant. What bread to eat? Literal bread. Because you plant wheat and you plant barley, that is bread that you can literally eat. The rain that's coming down from heaven and the snow that's coming down from heaven is literal rain and literal snow. The seed that he's given to the sower is not money. It's seed that the farmer can plant more seed. We have taken that and said it's money, and that is not so. So that is untrue. So Scripture will support Scripture. So he goes on here to say, here he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full ear of corn. If you ever watch corn grow, and he's right, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full ear of corn. You see it coming up green. It comes up. It gets tall. It gets leaves on it. Blades on it. It gets a tassel at the top, and some of it get two ears of corn on a stalk. Some of them have 3 ears of corn on the stalk. So this is what he is talking about. So it goes on here, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately put it forth the sickle, because the harvest is come. So not just, he's just giving an illustration here about what a farmer does, but actually the same thing. I mean, it all depends on what you're planting. Watermelon patches is different, and tomatoes, they grow different, and potatoes, they grow and done it before. So you got to dig watermelons up. Watermelon patches, they grow on top of the ground, but you plant them, and they'll grow on top of the ground. But potatoes, they grow in the ground. You got to dig them up. You got to dig up onions. You have to dig up turnip roots, they call them. So it all depends on what it is And a farmer has to know what he is doing. And those people understood agriculture, and they understood farming. That's why Jesus used the parables that he did during his earthly ministry, because no doubt they definitely understood what he was talking about. So when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put forth the sickle, because the harvest is come. He said, whosoever, he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? He asked the question, with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed. Now, mustards, people know about mustard greens. They know about turnip greens. They know about mustards and turnips and spinach and collard greens. Those are about the four different kind. I mean, people know about cabbage. That's a whole different kind itself. Cabbage is a head of cabbage that grows. But anyway, he's going on here. It's like a grain of a mustard seed. That grain, that mustard seed is so tiny, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. He's talking about when you plant it. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. In other words, it grows into a tree. So that's why he said, they were asking him, have faith in God. So he was saying, they have the faith of God. He says, and they asked him one time, Lord, increase our faith. More than one time, but one time he said to them, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. So somebody say, oh, that's just little faith. I beg to differ. I never forget an illustration that one late great preacher of the gospel gave. He said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, that much faith and no doubt. That much faith and no doubt. So that's no doubt what he was talking about. Have faith. Faith as a grain of a mustard seed. So he goes on here, with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. So just like somebody said, break it down so a second grader can understand it. So we can use big words and lose people. We can break it down where people can understand it. Like one talk show host I listened to in the mornings, he had went away to college back in the late 60s, and his grandfather, he came home talking big words and everything, and he said, he told him, you know, about all of that. He said, put it where the goats can get it. So in other words, they can put it down where we can understand it. Don't, you know, come with all these big words and everything. So that's what we have to do. This gospel is a simple gospel. It's not over our heads and where we can't understand it. So this is, it's a simple gospel. It's simplistic. That's why Apostle Paul said, when I come to you, you know, it's not with enticing words of man wisdom, but it's, you know, but it's of the kingdom of God and power. That our faith, he says, shouldn't be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When the world by wisdom knew not God, Apostle Paul said, it pleased God to save them by the foolishness of preaching. So it said, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is in 1 Corinthians, the first, second, and third chapter. So he said, you see your calling, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. He didn't say not any. He said, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. Apostle Paul was an exception himself. He was a wise man. He's, you know, he was saying, one I plant and one Apollos watereth, but God give it the increase. He's talking about the word, the seed. So he said, neither is he that soweth anything, he that watereth anything, but God that gives the increase. So it is a simple gospel. So without a parable spake he not unto them, and they were alone. He expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day went the 11. When the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. So he's talking about getting in a ship. So you notice what he said? Let us pass over unto the other side. Now remember, we're talking about the God who is the head of all things. So when they had sent the multitude away, they took him, even as he was, in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great wind, a storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So you know what that was. It was full of water. You don't want the water to get in the boat. Too much water get in the boat, it's going to sink it. So he was in the hinder part of the ship, talking about Jesus, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, notice what they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They asked the question. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, the disciples, that is Jesus, he said, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks. Somebody said his hands are in action. And God's word, the hand of God, is not a hand suspended from an arm, suspended from a shoulder, but the hand of God is the word of God. God speaks, and his hand, somebody said, goes into action. I like to say, God speaks and his hand is in action because he's God. Whatever he says is so. So they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadareans. So remember now, you go back into the fourth chapter of Mark. He said, let us go over unto the other side. So it didn't matter about the storm coming up, because no way is the master going to tell you to do something and you're not going to be able to do it. And so this was in Mark 4 and 35. And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us go pass over unto the other side. So no way they weren't going to be able to go to the other side. So now they're there on the other side. And so we know what happened. They woke him up, and the winds and the sea, everything, he said, peace be still. There was a great calm. So we know that he had healed, and more things that he's getting ready to do as we go on here with the time that we have left. They came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, talking about Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So remember what we're talking about here, Jesus healing many that had plagues. So, and then also he cast out devils. So we're going on here. There met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. That's because he had a devil. Or he had more than one in him, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. You imagine that? This man is chained with chains and fetters. Those chains are strong. There were not just some cheap chains. They couldn't tame him, no man. And always one writer said, oftentimes, Mark says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. You imagine that? He knew who he was. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And then so Jesus said, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. This is what Jesus said. And he asked him, Jesus asked this unclean spirit, this devil, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. So this is why couldn't no man tame him. He was cutting himself and breaking chains and in the tombs night and day crying. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, talking about Jesus. Remember they said, he asked them, what is thy name? They said, Legion, we are many. They were in this man. And the devils besought him, Jesus that is, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. So, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave. So in other words, he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. Now another writer says he said one word, go. And the herd ran, they went down into this herd of swine, and the herd ran violently down a deep place into the sea. You imagine? And they were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. You imagine? 2,000 hogs. Many devils went into them. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, which means many, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. So people say, clothed and in my right mind. No, if you're in your right mind, you're going to put it on clothes. So that's what he meant by that. So you got to, because we understand English. So that's why they said, him that had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might depart. And so, go up further. So, and they come to Jesus. When the swine had went and drowned all of those, the devils that went into the swine and drowned them all, and they came to Jesus, comma, and saw him that was possessed with the devil, comma, and the legion, comma, sitting, comma, and clothed, comma, and in his right mind, semicolon. And they were afraid, period. And they saw him, they saw it and told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. When he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So in other words, he asked him, can I be with you? Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. You'll notice, you understand what he said? Go tell them how great things the Lord hath done to thee and had compassion on thee. And he departed, the man that had the devils, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel, and we would have too. Because it was a miracle. They didn't kill the man. All the torture and the torment that the man was going through. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he besought him greatly, saying, My daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now remember, we're talking about healing. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she saw she had heard of Jesus, came in the press and touched his garment. Now look at all these things Jesus is doing. She said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Remember now, we're talking about Jesus healed many that had plagues. So we're right in here on it. And our time is almost gone too. And Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus had heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Look at all these things he's done. He suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And he was come in. When he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado, and why weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered into the house where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Tumatha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12. They were astonished with great astonishment. He charged them straightly that no man should know it, and he commanded that they should, that something should be given her to eat. So we see these miracles that he healed, and he cast out devils, and he healed, and he raised the dead, just like the Bible said that he would. And we know our time is gone for this time, but we thank you for listening to our lesson on today, and we'll talk to you on next time. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.